As the world changes, so does leadership. Hello, I'm Carlos Martin, host of Leadership Evolving on Now Media Television. On Leadership Evolving, we bring you real talk about mindset, resilience, culture, influence, and purpose. Every episode features thought leaders, innovators, and everyday visionaries sharing insights, experience, and strategies you can use. Let's explore how your voice can help others evolve their leadership. Watch Leadership Evolving on Now Media Television and step into the leader you are becoming. And today, we explore what it takes to lead with purpose and impact. Leadership today, evolving tomorrow. Welcome to Leadership Evolving, the show where we break down how real leaders grow, adapt, and stay effective in a world that keeps changing. I'm your host, Carlos Martin. And here today is Ricky Chavez. Welcome.
Hey, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. So again, Ricky Chavez, he's a retired U.S. Army veteran and HR trained leader with an MBA, team lead of the Ricky Chavez team at the Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate, Gary Green, and the host of Battle Ready on Now Media Television. Again,
That's a mouthful.
Yeah. And again, thank you so much for being here. Where are you calling from today?
So I'm here in the Tomball area right outside of Houston.
Oh, I love it. I'm in beautiful Austin, Texas. So tell us a little bit about you, about your business, and just a quick little intro of Ricky.
So yeah, you know, like you said earlier, I did 20 years in the military. You know, I've actually been retired, 23 or 4 years. So I've been out of the Army longer than I was in the Army.
Oh, interesting. You know,
it was pretty good change. Then I went into human resources, which my wife thought, man, I'm going to get fired as soon as I get out because I had that military mentality going in there.
Yeah, for whatever reason, I don't see military and HR kind of in the same sentence.
Yeah, that's what they call that oxymoron, right? So I had to learn all those special words like, wow, oh my gosh, really? I know how to do all that.
That must have been a shift.
Yeah, once I got to work at FedEx Ground, I went back to school. I got my bachelor's and MBA while working full time and, you know, learned how to be the nicer, calmer Ricky, I guess.
The nicer version of Ricky. I love that.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So I remember my one leader, he was an ex-military guy. He was actually in the company too. He said, Ricky, man, you got to learn how to send somebody to hell and make them look forward to the trip.
There's so much layers to that. Well, again, thank you. And I'm super curious to see how you was it the Army?
Yes, sir.
I'm sure you, when I think Army, I think a lot of leadership, right? As an individual, but also as your sergeant or captain. I don't know much of that lingo. So seeing that we are in leadership evolving here, I'm curious to see what was the biggest leadership shift that you personally saw over the last decade?
Well, you know, I think that taking an individual contributor and expecting them to lead with no training. Mm. So they're actually working and doing it all the time and are very good at it. And now you're trying to lead somebody else to do it. And I know my biggest challenge, I came from, you know, being a high contributor. I took over an office at one point and I couldn't understand why my soldiers didn't do what I did. Mm. And I got into a little trouble. And I remember a guy coming down to me, one of my bosses, he flew to see me and said, Ricky, you got to remember they're not you. So you have to lead them differently.
Yeah. So what was the most difficult thing, right? So you, as a solo contributor, you do well, you do great, you have your vision. But now that you're leading people, what was the biggest sticking point for you on a personal level?
Understanding what makes them tick, how to provide purpose, direction, and motivation. The WIFM, you ever heard the WIFM? What's in it for me? You got to provide yes. that to them so that they excel. Mm.
So coming from the Army, was it more of a tactical, we got to get things done right away, I don't have time to think about you and your feelings and your emotions, and all of a sudden it's like, wait, I have to see their perspective and how they see things?
Well, definitely the civilian world is much more patient, or was more patient at that time. You know, I didn't have a lot of time in the military. They told you to do something, you did it. Then you ask questions, and then you reevaluated what we're doing. Out here, they ask a lot more questions up front.
Yeah. So that's got to be. So I'm thinking, as an executive coach, I look at a lot of identity, if you will. So was it you identified as an Army individual, and now all of a sudden you have to identify as an HR leader? Was that difficult? Was that just like complete new and different DNA for you?
I think that evaluating their concerns and understanding that's a concern to them, regardless of how I felt about it, and making sure that I could provide a comfortable environment for them to be able to, you know, talk about it and learn from that, you know, and that was kind of hard, you know, coming out of the military and going to the civilian world, and then, you know, feeling that and understanding that. Now the military now today, I understand, I've been out of 20 some years. My son's getting ready to retire. My son-in-law just had 20 years, and they're like, you're going crazy with the military. It's just a different military for sure.
Yeah, I bet. So what is one leadership habit that quietly kind of breaks trust, if you will?
Breaks trust?
Yeah.
Do as I say, not as I do.
I see.
You know, yeah, you know, I think it's lead from the front and lead by example is very important. And I think that a lot of times that there's a challenge there. There's a disconnect.
It really is, because when I was a leader, you know, leading teams, yes, you lead from in front, but I remember at times when I did not, where I kind of broke my own rule. And that is an easy way to break that trust. Right, because it's when they're expecting something from the leader says one thing and does a different thing. And I noticed that trust sometimes is so difficult to get, but it's so easy to lose.
No, 100%. I mean, if you think about it, most people will, this is kind of off key a little bit, but most people will stay on the phone 30 minutes, 40 minutes to complain about something, right? But won't take the time to give a praise. I think that's kind of the same mentality, right?
Yeah. So what is one thing, if you were to look at kind of like a bird's eye view in regards to leadership, whether it's from your personal experience or dealing with leaders, what is the number one thing that you would say, this is what someone needs to learn or to be, or a skill set to be a more of an effective leader?
Understand their audience. I think I can remember at higher levels of HR when we hired high-end leaders like managing directors, vice presidents, so on and so forth. And they'd come into an organization, and then all of a sudden, the people that have been doing the work the whole time, 20 years plus, all of a sudden they don't know how to do their jobs. And, you know, then the managers all of a sudden want to get rid of them or bring in their people. And that was always kind of a push-pull from my perspective as an HR professional, because, you know, somebody just does not, after doing a job for so long, they just do not know how not to do the job.
I see. So was it more of a, sorry to interrupt, is it more of a disconnect if you, because they've been doing it for such a long time, they kind of forget to connect with people? Because it just becomes part of what they do on a regular basis?
I think that their goals are to do better, get the organization to move to in a higher direction, that they really don't spend the time with the individual sometimes to make sure that they understand what they're doing. You got to think back to the people that you are now leading. You know, and you're the new leader in a new organization and so forth. these people have been doing the same thing forever and ever, the way they've been possibly taught, or maybe what the way they've been getting away with. So now you're charged with bringing them to your level.
I see. So do you think at that point is more of a leadership alignment, a vision alignment? You know, sometimes it's hard for the vision to trickle down from the president, CEO, all the way to the manager individual level. Do you think that's part of the misalignment there?
I think that's definitely a challenge. I think the other piece is, and this is one of the struggles from coming from the military to the civilian world, is in the military, we train everybody from the private to the generals. I mean, everybody knows the mission, knows the purpose, knows the goals, and everybody is really in line with doing it. And we want to coach our people to take our jobs. In the civilian world, it's a little bit scarier because, you know, if you coach somebody too much, they may take your job.
Yeah. Okay, so in the military, is that something that you want? But when you interpret that in the civilian world, as you put it, yeah, there is that fear. And I'll speak for that fear. I'll speak for myself. When I was kind of early in management, that was a fear. But I think it is, I don't know if it's a misconception. What are your thoughts around having that fear? If there's a new manager out there that fear comes up, what would your advice be to them?
Well, I will tell you this, and it's been my experience again, when that individual, like you're the manager, you're scared to teach your people to do what you do because you want to make sure you're valid. Mm. Whereas now there's an opportunity for you and there's really no way for leadership to let you move on because you've trained nobody to take your place. Mm-hmm. So it should be in your best interest to train everybody to do what you do so you can also grow.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I think that is the best way to do so. You know, but somehow these individuals, you know, especially when you're new in leadership, you start to think, well, yeah, I want to learn. But at the same time, if I give if I start giving all these individuals my golden and personal nuggets, then they're going to come after my job. But I think it's, you know, what comes up for me as an executive coach is more of that mindset. And so we can think that way, but that's kind of coming from a place of lack, if you will, instead of coming from a place of abundance. So I love that. Well, we're going to be right back. We're going to take a small little break here. And Ricky, I'm so excited to continue talking about all the wisdom, the inner wisdom that you must have seen there, but also the transition from the military, as you put it, to the civilian world.
We'll be right back with more insights, stories, and transformative leadership conversations. Stay with us. Leadership today, evolving tomorrow. I'm Carlos Martin, and this is Leadership Evolving on Now Media Television. Let's continue the journey. And we are back. Leadership today, evolving tomorrow.
And welcome back to Leadership Evolving. Want more of what you're watching? Stay connected to this show and now and every Now Media TV show, one of your favorites, live or on demand, anytime that you want. Download the free Now Media app on Roku or iOS and unlock that nonstop bilingual programming in English and in Spanish. Or if you're on the move, catch a podcast version of Now Media TV. So, and we are back with Señor Ricky. So tell us a little bit. I want to now talk about the transition. So we talked about from the military to HR and now leading a team in the real estate business. Tell us a little bit about that transition in regards to leadership style or approach.
Well, you know, so when you think about it, in the military, there's soldiers, they're there. You got, it's your people, right? Mm-hmm. You can hold them hostage if you want. I don't know. It's just, it's there. They're joined, right?
Yes.
Then in corporate America, you know, I went kind of into a support role where I supported the management, but I did have a team of recruiters and HR professionals underneath me at a time. Mm-hmm. But now I've transitioned to the real estate world where now I'm leading a bunch of owner operators. So the reality is, the way I like to talk to them or tell my team is, you know, we're partner. We're individual entrepreneurs that have partnered together for our cause, right? So here, you know, I don't really tell them what to do. I make suggestions. I give them ideas. But ultimately, it goes back to the WIF and what's in it for me. I need to make sure I provide the reason for them to do what they do, you know, versus just telling them what to do.
So it sounds now, like you said, these again, individual contributors. So they're all, so they're almost dealing with entrepreneurs, if you will.
Yeah, these are all entrepreneurs, yes.
Right. So they have their own business, so it's a little bit more difficult to tell them what to do.
Yes.
I see. Okay. I like that. So what are some of the difficulties? Because so now for me, if I'm the entrepreneur, I have my own business, and now I have this quote unquote boss or leader that's telling me what to do. Now I feel like that's a whole different thing, because now you are affecting my pocket. Because if you're telling me what to do, but at the end of the day, I'm my own contributor. Does that get a little tricky?
So, you know, it's kind of misclassification, right? So an entrepreneur or contractor, they run their own business. They sign a contract with you and they sign the contract to provide whatever business or whatever work they say they're going to do. And your requirement is to, you know, make sure and help them do that. But you can't really tell them what to do, when to be at work, when not to be. I mean, you can make suggestions and hope they'll take them, but it's a different type of leadership for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can still like look at the KPIs, look at the numbers, but it's not going to be like, hey, you need to clock in at 8 o'clock or be, okay, that makes sense. So I want to talk a little bit, especially on the entrepreneur side, on the stress side. How do, in from what you've seen, how do leaders make stronger decisions when under stress?
Well, you know, it's stress kind of runs people's games, and that it's even like in sales, right? You can tell the difference in how a person's doing financially and how they sell. They talk differently. They're less receptive. They're kind of pushy. Whereas you have some people that are doing very well, you know, they are more relaxed. So as far as the stress with like the sales teams, like the realtors, it's just a different way to lead them. And I do one-on-ones with my team. And that's a little tricky because I learned early on. I mean, let me be blunt. If I tell you you suck and you don't believe you suck, nothing I'm going to say is going to make that change.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I put together my KPIs that I thought are important for a successful realtor. I put them on a piece of paper and I gave them grade A, B, C, D. A means great. B means you need a little bit of adjustment. C, not so well. And D, straight up doo-doo, right? And I learned after like maybe the first round, I'm not going to grade them. We'll sit down. You grade yourself. And then I'll ask you questions about why you graded yourself. And I felt that's where I got the most success from them. Because again, if I tell them they're a D and they think they're a C or an A, you know, that's not going to do any good. So I'd ask them, like, you graded yourself an A at this KPI. Why, what made that come about? Well, I make my phone calls every week. Well, great. How many phone calls you make? Well, I did like 2 hours. Okay. You did 2 hours in a 40 hour week. You feel that's an A? How many phone calls did you make in 2 hours? I made like 3. So you made 3 on this day. What about this one? I made 3 more. So that's 6. So 6 phone calls in 40 hours, you graded yourself an A. Is that right? How many people do you need to touch to sell somebody? Well, I need 30 people for each one. So then they start saying, oh, I get it now. I got to do more things. But I just had to ask them questions for them to discover it.
Yeah, because you're talking about that run rate. And sometimes these individuals could be kind of a bit delirious where they want the outcome, but they're not putting in the input. I'm like, okay, that doesn't make any sense. What have you seen the difference between confidence and performance is for you and what you've seen?
Well, people can be really confident about what they do and how good they are at it, but if they don't go to work, it doesn't matter. So, you know, I especially in real estate, right? So it's like having a store. If your doors to your store is not open, nobody can buy. Same difference. Now, you take all these professional individuals who've never really sold anything before, or maybe have never worked on their own or for themselves. And now the alarm goes off at 6 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock in the morning. They really don't have anybody, any place to be. Why do I hit the alarm clock and sleep a couple more hours, or do I do this or do I do that? And it's the biggest leadership challenge is leading yourself. Everything else is easy. Leading yourself is that's a challenge.
Yeah. No, I'm glad we're talking about this, because I've, on a personal level and, you know, with clients and many people that I've led, confidence can only take you so far. And that is just the reality from what I've seen. But if you don't have the structure, right, to be able to have the performance, you could talk a good game, but at the end of the day is, what do those numbers look like? And you could have to be the most confident person. Because I remember dealing with some individuals that are like introverts, and you look at them, okay, not that confident maybe, but their numbers are there. So which one do you, you know, which one do you rather have, right? Is the performance and the confidence. And I think you could do both.
I think a lot of people get confused with confidence and competence. Maybe confident, but not really know anything. So, you know, like I talk on my show, it's like, you don't know what you don't know, right?
Yeah.
So it's your responsibility to educate yourself and keep going.
Yeah. So speaking of sales, and you mentioned when someone is coming from, what was that term?
Corporate, you know, America.
Yeah, corporate America, but, you know, losing from, you know, selling rather, when you're coming from fear, right? You say you kind of sense it. So how do how do you reset that? Because I've been there many years ago, when you're doing the same thing over and over, and it's been working before, and all of a sudden it's just not working. So how do you reset that button after failure without losing momentum? Or if you see the momentum kind of shifting or losing it, how do you reset that button for yourself, and how do you reset that individual for others?
You know what? The standard answer is go back to the basics. And go back to the basics, do what got you to where you're at. Now, the interesting thing in real estate is there's nobody really is taught the basics. They just go to a real estate school. They come out and they get with a brokerage, and they get told, hey, make your plan, follow your plan, and go sell some houses. But nobody's ever taught them how to build a plan or how to do any of the things. So they really don't have any basics. I can remind myself when I was in recruiting, military recruiting, I went to a 6-week recruiting school, and they taught us everything from making a phone call, how to do it properly, handle objections, do a sales book. I mean, it's a 6-week sales school. There's no schools like that out here that any realtors really go to. So what basics do they go back to? And the other piece is you got to go to work.
Yeah.
Lace up your boots and go to work.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, because they said they get certified or licensed and they go back out there. But the reality, like you said, back to the drawing board, if you will. But if that drawing didn't look all that great, there's not much to get back into. Yeah. What else can you tell us to be an effective leader from what you see now with your team? What's another golden nugget that you would like to share with us?
Well, I mean, I think being there for them, you know, as a real estate professional, you need to help them understand a couple of things. And one of the things that I tell a couple of my people is like, you have no opinion. I don't ever want to be the reason that somebody buys a house or the reason somebody doesn't buy the house. I just need to provide them all the information that they need to make their own good decision. And the same thing with the people that work, you know, with me on the team is, you know, each of my individuals are different. What motivates them is different. I have one brand new young lady. She just signed up with me 2 days ago, and she left another brokerage, and she basically says, I don't know what to do. I haven't had any help. And I said, so what are you looking for? So I just want somebody to tell me what to do. So that's an individual where you can actually train them how you do it let them apply it. And I know one of my conversations with her was, listen, I'm going to give you a lot of stuff to, that are opportunities to do things. Try them for 90 days. What works for you, keep. What doesn't work for you, push away. But there might be some things that people tell you don't work, doesn't work, but you might be the perfect person to make it work. So don't listen to anybody else. Do give it your own, you know.
Yeah. Go. Yeah. I love that. If someone wants to learn more about what about your leadership philosophy and the work that you do through Battle Ready, where should they start?
Well, a couple different places. I'm with Better Homes and Gardens, Gary Green. So if you're looking for me, Ricky Chavez at Better Homes and Gardens, Gary Green, you can come to the website. You'll get to see about my real estate group. Naturally, I'm at Now Media. I'm Battle Ready, and I'm on LinkedIn at Ricky Chavez on LinkedIn. You can reach out to me, send me a message, text me. I'm pretty good about replying pretty soon. I may even tell you, hey, listen, I'm doing something, but I'll get back with you, or can I call you later? But this is very much enjoyable for me. You know, I've been very lucky, and I love helping others.
Fantastic. Well, everybody stay tuned, and we'll be right back with more of Ricky Chavez.
We'll be right back with more insights, stories, and transformative leadership conversations. Stay with us. Leadership today, evolving tomorrow. I'm Carlos Martin, and this is Leadership Evolving on Now Media Television. Let's continue the journey. And we are back. Leadership today, evolving tomorrow.
And we are back with Leadership Evolving. I'm your host, Carlos Martin. So, and we are back also with Ricky Chavez. So I want to go a little bit deeper. Now let's have a conversation around leadership, but let's peel the layers back, if you will. So if we were to put our hats on when we were first as leaders, right? What were some of the things that, you know, just a few years back, right? What were some of the things that we found that were harder for us? And I'll kind of start with myself just to kind of give you an idea. I remember when I was first a leader, great, I was a decent contributor as a salesperson, and I like to think I was a better leader, better manager. But one of the things that I remember as a young leader is that I thought I knew everything. I really looked at the numbers, and that's what I really concentrated, but I didn't really concentrate on the people. So let's talk a little bit about that, because I feel that that managers are not really giving the tools. They definitely just put me out there and say, okay, Carlos, you are doing a decent job as a salesperson. Just go out there. So I want to be able to talk about that and what your personal experience was. And maybe we could talk about this so other individuals here listening to this can learn a little bit about our personal experience.
So, you know, I was kind of a rough child. I was an individual contributor, and I did really well as an individual contributor. And I like being an individual contributor because I like to be in charge of me and do well so I could do whatever I wanted.
Yeah.
But then when it pushed over to, you know, the leadership side, that's why it's hard to grow a leader within the group that you've been doing your thing with, because they saw what you did. And now you have to lead them, and you have to make some changes to help them do the things that they want. So it's that's always a challenge, I think.
Yeah, but I remember, I mean, that's a great point. I remember, because you're part of the team, right? And all of a sudden you're like, okay, we're going to pick one of those individuals from the team to lead the rest of you. And that in itself can create some friction, or it definitely did for me, because all of a sudden it's like, okay, Carlos is one of the guys. And now Carlos is my boss. Well, how does that work? Do you remember how that went for you?
I'll tell you this. It's like, I was kind of the clown. I just did good. I mean, I always wanted to be the top, but I wanted to do it my speed, my way, whatever. And you know what? Then they put me in a leadership role, and it's like, oh man, now I got to really follow the rules. And not that I didn't follow the rules, but I need to do it the way they wanted me to do it, right?
Yeah.
Because the joke, we used to have the right way, the wrong way, and the army way. You know, oh, corporate America is the same way.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, all right, now what do I do? How do I get my mindset wrapped around leading my peers who saw me do the things I did? And then you have to motivate them a different way. But the bottom line is, you got the results. You got to help them get the results.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Yeah, and that could be a little tricky. No, I definitely remember going through those days and the times, and they're very difficult. But I don't know if it's just, it'll come with time that you kind of figure it out. And that's kind of my sticking point. I did figure it out, but it took me a long time. I would have to say about a year, year and a half until I had to figure out. And my sticking point is, do they have to figure it out? Are they tools, or should they have, maybe the person that was that manager that went up, you know, to the GM or original VP, should they be kind of a mentor to that individual?
You know, it's funny you ask that. So I always tell everybody, people either like to talk about themselves or help others. Mm. And, you know, I've really never heard of a leader that's been asked to mentor somebody say no. Mm. It may be hard to get the schedules lined up, but most people have fear of asking for help,
yeah,
or mentorship, because they feel it's a sign of weakness, where in reality it's a sign of strength, because now two people know that you want to excel, not just you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point, because I talked to a lot of leaders and they want to be mentors. But like you said, the mentee is the person that has that fear or maybe that insecurity to say, well, if I'm asking for quote unquote help, that means, you know, by definition is that I don't know what I'm doing. And that is very different than having a coach, especially a coach or a mentor, if you will, that to say, look, I've done this, Ricky, and I did that for 5 years. Now, Ricky, you're coming into my seat, right? So it's more of a partnership, opposed to let me tell you what it is. And I, for whatever reason, I just don't see companies doing that, and it drives me bonkers. Or sometimes they do have that in play, but sometimes it's a mentor from a different department. Well, we need something that really kind of correlates. And again, I just don't see that.
I think the reality is you have to take ownership. Mm. You. And when I say that, I had a mentor, a guy that I asked, hey, listen, and he was a couple levels above me. For whatever reason, we gelled, we had good conversations. And one day I just approached him and said, listen, you've done some great things out here. You know, I'm still transitioning from civilian world to here. And I'll be honest, I remember having a conversation with my boss one time, and I thought I was doing such a great job. Everybody liked me. I was providing the human resource support for everybody. And then my boss sat down one time, yeah, they like you, but they're scared of you. And I was like blown away.
Yeah.
You know, because I was just strong will, strong personality, whatever. And so I asked this guy, you know, because people were very much following this gentleman, right? And he said, yeah, I'll spend. Well, when we put it on the calendar, he said, when you come to me, I want you to tell me what we're going to talk about. Tell me what you want to learn. And that's where the work came. You know, I had to figure out what is it I really want to do, how I wanted to be, what I wanted to get better at, and show up with that versus, hey, let's just talk. What are you going to teach me? And let you make up your mind what you're going to teach me. You have to take ownership of that journey. You know,
yeah.
Hey, I want to learn how not to choke somebody when they try to be crazy. I don't know, whatever it is, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's something that we definitely need to learn. And I'm glad that you did learn. You know, when I think of a leader, when you look at the word leader, is someone that is, I'm going to just simple definition, is someone that's going in the front. But if nobody's following you, right? That's not a leader. Now, we could call ourselves leaders and managers all we want, but when I think of a leader as someone in the front and actually people following you, and I see that, because a lot of times they have to be behind you because support you, quote unquote, because you're the boss, but not necessarily follow you. And I think those are two very different things. So what have you as a leader to be able to say, you know, how are they, is my team really following me, or they're just saying yes because I'm their boss?
I'll tell you, when they start becoming proactive and they become part of the solution, then you know that they're following you, that they're actually want there. You know, it's then that you really get it. I have to give my wife a compliment. You know, she manages about a couple hundred realtors here in the west side of the Houston area. And a lot of times people don't even know we're married. And I'm a realtor. I'm one of the teams within the area that she's managing, which is kind of scary in itself, right? Because, and that's a whole different story. But, you know, I'll meet a new person or maybe a person has been there a while. And they're like, I'll ask, so how's that manager? You know, just trying to shoot the crap with them. And they're like, oh man, that's the only reason I'm here. She, you know, they can go anywhere. They're entrepreneurs. You know, she's always there. She's available. I mean, that's the only reason I'm here. Mm. And to me, that's the ultimate compliment.
Yeah. 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 I love that. So I want to go deeper into not necessarily leadership, now into you. And so the word that comes to me is reinvention of oneself. What was the evolution for you? Forget about leadership. It was more about your personal reinvention of yourself. If you could kind of walk us through military, HR, and now to what you do, because I'm assuming you had to reinvent yourself. How did that look? I'm super curious.
You know, so it's a funny and kind of an embarrassing story. If I really say it verbally, I don't know if I should.
Right? It's okay. You're in the trust circle here.
I'm in a safe zone.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So I retired. I was 39 years old, and I did 20 years in the military. I spent most of it recruiting, and we worked a lot of hours. It was crazy. I retired. In the last six years in the military, my wife and I only lived together like 18 months because of the jobs, whatever. I come home and I just refuse to work. I'm not going to work. I don't want to do anything. I'm just going to relax, whatever. All of a sudden, I start getting these phone calls and people are like, Mr. Chavez, I understand you're interested in an opportunity. I'm like, no, how did you get my number? And they're like, well, I have your resume. I'm like, I don't have a resume. My wife put a resume together and started sending it out.
It's good for her.
Yeah. So then that's how I got my shot into the real estate and not real estate, sorry, into HR, mm-hmm. You know, and started working there and, you know, just went from there. And then I ended up, my last job, I was actually a director up in Boston. So I was commuting from Houston to Boston and they were moving back to Canada, the company was, and I wasn't going to move with them. So we did a layoff package for me, moved me back. I came back home. My wife's like, no, you can't retire now. You got to go do this. So I just, bottom line is my wife's been bossing me around. I've just been kind of running with it.
So what you're saying is.
I would like to say it was like better words, but that's
kind of what it is. No, I like it. There's no shame there. What you're telling us is marry the right person. Marry the person that is is your cheerleader, right? That celebrates your win, where you guys are a partnership. I love that. I think everybody should strive that. You shouldn't be, you know, necessarily ashamed or embarrassed to say that, my wife is the one that's been the driving force in this relationship.
Yeah, she's been pretty much telling me what to do since we've been married. We just actually celebrated our 30th year in December.
January. Oh, congratulations to both of you. I think it's admirable to be able to have that and to have that, but also to say that, because I think women don't get enough kudos on what they do. And that's only one very small part of it, to say, here's a resume without telling you. And, you know,
it was, everybody laughs about that whenever I tell the story. I mean, my wife is like a workhorse. She just can work all day. Right.
Yeah.
And that's me, great. I have fun at it right now. I'm doing the funnest thing I've ever done, you know, helping families, helping my team. And, it makes up for everything.
Yeah, I love that. All right, well, don't go anywhere. We're going to come right back. It's still some more time, more wisdom, inner wisdom with Ricky Chavez. We'll see you soon.
We'll be right back with more insights, stories, and transformative leadership conversations. Stay with us. Leadership today, evolving tomorrow. I'm Carlos Martin, and this is Leadership Evolving on Now Media Television. Let's continue the journey. And we are back. Leadership today, evolving tomorrow.
And welcome back to Leadership Evolving. You want more of what you're watching? Stay connected to this show and every Now Media TV show that we have. And you can check out your favorite live or on demand at any time you like. Download the free Now Media app, and it's on Roku or iOS, and unlock the nonstop bilingual programming in English and in Spanish. Or if you're on the move, catch the podcast version on Now Media TV. From business and news to lifestyle to culture and beyond, Now Media is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are. So let's welcome back Ricky Chavez to do our final segment.
Hey there, how's it going?
Good, good. So now we've talked about many things, and I want to talk about leadership, but now the precursor of leadership. So now if we have someone out there that's thinking of how to become a leader, should I become a leader? What should I do to prepare a leader? I want to talk about a little bit about that. So what are some of your insights to if that individual is listening to us now?
You know, Chat GPT.
Okay. The good old AI class.
You know, I took a Chat GPT class probably a month or so ago, and it's just opened my world. If you're trying to be a leader, no matter what you want to be a leader at, you can actually ask Chat GPT, okay, what are the steps I should do? What are some of the things I should do to prepare myself? How can I be proactive and things like that?
Yeah,
and it'll spit it out. It's amazing.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great start. A friend of mine, he asked me, like, what should I do to become a better leader, to become a leader? And I recommended Toastmasters because I when you become a leader, it's not only, again, you have to manage numbers and lead people, but you're also having a lot of conversations, you know, with the president of the company, the VP, other people's in the C-suite. So you need to be able to communicate, not only to communicate, but communicate effectively. So that's one thing that I always recommend to take a Toastmaster class, or maybe even not better, but both and, is to record yourself talking. Record yourself talking, you know, to Ricky Chavez, record talking to yourself. If you're going through an interview, right? You know, get the top three questions and you get that through ChatGPT or any other LLM, and then just kind of practice that. Because sometimes in your head, they do make sense. But once they go from here to here, it is very different, right? So be able to have those answers come out in a very fluid way for them to come out. Let's say your stories that, you know, now it seems to be very popular to be a storyteller. Why is that popular? Because it's about effective communication to tell your own personal story. So if somebody's asking you, like, hey, because they could read your resume, right? They could read your LinkedIn, but, you know, tell me about a time that you got stuck in leadership. You could say, well, this and this happened. Or you could tell the story and the whole how effective of a communicator you are. I think that's, I would probably put that on number one. The other thing that I recommend is we all hear executive presence. And executive presence is not only how you look and how you dress, though that can play a role, but also how you carry yourself, the confidence. So tell us a little bit about that as well and how you come across and what's your interpretation of that, Ricky?
I will tell you that the one thing that you said that really resonates with me is the recording yourself, video yourself. And, you know, I used to teach at the Army Sales School and we used to teach them how to do a speech. And we had a grading sheet based on how they did, based on hitting certain things. And I learned probably my second semester in that instead of me grading them and telling them how they did, I gave them the grading sheet and their video. They went home and graded themselves. Mm. And that's where they found the most growth. Mm-hmm. Because I can tell them they said 50 times, but unless they actually see it and count it themselves, now they're going to make a conscious effort not to say anymore, whatever.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. Those are called like filler words, those ums that people say, or sometimes these small ticks that we all have them, but how do you minimize those? I remember I was in a meeting one time many years ago in a sales meeting, and this one individual would say the same word. I think the term was, you know what I'm saying, or. And I think I would count them. I would write them down. It's like, I can't believe this individual just said the same word 15 times within a, you know, 2 minute conversation. So it's those little things, right? That, because all of a sudden you're going into interpretation of what, how is a, the other person across from you, how are they going to interpret you? What are they going to perceive as, is this the person that I want on my team? Is this the effective leader that I want to hire, right? If this person is saying the same word 10, 15 times. And I'm not saying it's a dire thing, but it is going to take a weight. It's going to take weight, if you will, from that other person across the table. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I know that I was taught way back when a calculated pause. You take a calculated pause. If you don't know what you're going to say, get quiet. Yes. And then everybody's like, wow, he's going to say something amazing, or he really don't know what the heck he's talking about, or whatever. But it's going to, it helps them out and it gets them the opportunity to regain their thoughts.
I'm glad that you brought that up, because that helps you, you know, and even me, as you pause, I kind of slow down a little bit. And, you know, I have a friend of mine that he's on TV quite a bit as well. And he always tells me, like, we got to be able, you don't want to be so monotone, right? You want to be able to go up and down, but not too high, not too low. And you just kind of waver in and also put those intentional pauses, you know, when you want to say something important, to be able to captivate your audience. And I think a lot of the times it helps us to kind of think a little bit better. And there's a little bit of power in the pause. And I know that for a fact, not only speaking to you folks right now, but also as a coach, there's a lot of power in on the pausing, to be able to, what we call level two listening, to say, Ricky, tell me more about you. And you just kind of quiet down, because everybody processes things differently, right? Not because they're slow, but they're thinking about what they want to say. So I think that's a fantastic, that pause is extremely powerful. Anything else that comes to mind in regards to that individual that wants to prepare? Maybe they're in their early 20s and they want to become someone like you as a leader driving a big real estate team. If somebody's hearing you in early 20s, he or she is interested in becoming, you know, involved in real estate, getting involved in not only that, but be a leader, what would you tell them directly to them?
I would tell them, sort out good advice and get away from the noise.
tell us more.
You know, so, you know, it seems like in today's world, you know, with I make the joke that everybody has a degree in Google now, right?
Yeah, you know, everybody's an expert. Yeah.
Yeah. So just understand this. Know you, know yourself, and listen. You can listen to what they say. I think one of the biggest things I've heard people, a younger generation, say is, I know. I'm explaining something to them and they come in and say, I know that. And I'm in my 60s and I will have a conversation with somebody and I don't care if I know it or not. I'm not going to say I know. Two reasons. One reason, I don't want to demoralize them. I want them to be able to get their point out. But the second and most important reason is this. They might bring a point to you that you never thought about. And you just lost that opportunity because you said, I know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that is very powerful, because even if, well, there's two things. Even if they know, but a lot of times that's one of those filler words that we were just talking about, because it's just automatic. Even though they may know or not know, but that could be a filler word. Oh, okay, I know. And sometimes they're doing it consciously or most likely subconsciously to say, I hear you, but that could be also very dismissive to you or anybody who's saying, like, how do you know everything, right? So that could be, we were talking about the perception earlier. So that's a big one.
So, you know, there's this thing called psychological reciprocity where you give somebody credit for their knowledge or their actions and they're bound to agree with you on your next point. So they'll tell me something that I've heard before, I know from past experience, whatever. And I'll say, wow, that's a great point. I give them, it doesn't matter. You know, I think people are so in a hurry to take credit for their own knowledge. They don't need to do that.
Yeah.
You know, just be a good listener and learn things. Because the one thing I would tell anybody that is trying to figure it out is be the leader you always wanted, not the one you've had. Because you can learn from the good leaders and from the bad leaders, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Just apply it to yourself. What was the leader you were looking for? Yeah. Be that leader.
Yeah, that's a great point. I've learned tons of things from bad leaders as well. Like, how do I do not want to be with the people that I lead? And I think there's a lot of lessons in that as well. Like you said, how do you take the good stuff and, you know, weed out the noise, you know, but a lot of times in the noise, you hear like, that is not the way that I want to be. So to connect with Ricky Chavez, follow his work with Ricky Chavez team and watch Battle Ready on Now Media Television. We should be able to put some of this, some of his LinkedIn there. Beautiful. How else can they find you?
So yeah, naturally you can see me at Ricky Chavez on LinkedIn. I'm still serving. And then, I'm also on Now Media and Battle Ready and the show Battle Ready. It's about the journey. It's about everybody's journey to where they're at. A lot of the guests have had amazing journeys. Had one lady that was a abused wife, 27 years old with a kid, wow. No education. And now she has a PhD. She runs an amazing oil company, consulting company, and she's doing just great things. So there's some great stories there.
Oh, I love that. Hey, you look great, by the way, on that picture and in live as well.
Photoshop, man. Photoshop.
The good old AI. Ricky, thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you for making the time. Thank you for your wisdom. It was just such a great joy to talk to you and be able to take everybody here, the journey from military all the way to where you are. I'm Carlos Martin. Thank you for watching Leadership Evolving, and we'll see you next time.